It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hello, garden friends. I am excited today. We have the one and only Dr. Alan Armitage with us. Dr. A, as most of us know him by, is a well-known writer, speaker, and multi-award-winning horticulturist. He was born and raised in Canada. He later lived in Michigan, and now he resides in Georgia. So he knows personally what it's like to garden in both cold and warm climates. Now, Dr. A has worked with gardeners, landscapers, growers, and retailers in North and the South, and he loves to travel to share his passion for plants. But as you know, this year we were spending our days at home. So Dr. A began taking his followers on live walkabouts in his own garden through Instagram and Facebook. He encouraged us to grab our favorite beverage and come walk through the garden. And we had so much fun. Hey, Dr. A, so glad to have you.
Well, Teresa, I can hardly stand myself. This is going to be so much fun. You mentioned taking your favorite beverage, and if you were with me, you know that my mantra when I walk with people, whether it's live for a little evening session or it's online like that, my mantra is, the more you drink, the better I sound. So I hope somebody's got at least a cup of coffee or something when they listen to us, maybe a glass of wine. But this is what, we have to understand that this whole gardening thing, whatever, it's 99%. It's 99% fun. Doesn't mean it's not work, but the idea of just enjoying ourselves, that's what it's all about.
Well, that is so true. If it isn't fun, well, why would we do it?
Yeah.
Well, honestly, it's good for my soul. It adds peace to there's a lot of things, but yeah. We do want it to be fun. Now, you and I have never actually met in person, but I feel like I've been to your garden. We've had coffee together. We've had wine together. Because of those walkabouts. So yeah. I'm so glad you did that. It was fun. It was very informative. And it was just nice to see what you grow.
Well, I do really enjoy, because, it's sort of how do we adapt to this crazy times? And, we're all doing the very best we can. There's a couple of things, Teresa, that I think that have become absolutely 100% self-evident to me. That is that gardening, and I don't mean to compare gardening to my daughters who are working in hospitals in the middle of the COVID pandemic, but gardening is essential. It has been shown that there are more people gardening during this pandemic than ever before. More millennials are getting into it. More tomatoes are being sold. More people are passing wonderful plants over the fence to their neighbors. It is every, and I say every, just about every garden center, production place, whatever, has had a fine year. And it's because gardening gives us something to look forward to. In these times where every day seems to be, like Groundhog Day, gardening just, I put a bulb in and I can't wait for spring. I put a seedling in or an annual. I can't wait for it to just do its thing. So that's what's been pretty self-evident. These Facebook little walkabouts in my garden, they've gone anywhere from 200 to 2,000 people walking with me with my funny little iPhone and my funny little garden. And so it's just because it's people like doing that stuff. And by the way, I do have, I won't say one more, but I'm pretty sure I have one more. I don't know if it's the last one. One more walkabout, coming up on, November the 8th, which is a Sunday. And I'm going to be doing the whole house plants and how to bring them in and all that stuff. And we're going to a garden center near Atlanta, and we're just going to have a ball there. So anybody who's interested in the whole house plant succulent thing, and we're going to be doing that on November the 8th. And you'll get a notice, Teresa,
oh,
so
good.
You can
good,
send
good.
It out to everybody. It's just great fun.
It is
that's
great
all it is.
Fun. Well, one of the things, it's Dr. Alan Armitage Garden, but we saw that your garden is similar to our garden. You know, we have a lot in common.
Oh, we do.
Our gardens aren't perfect. Our gardens get weeds. Our gardens get diseases. We have plants that overtake, like some vines. I know you're dealing with a vine that I'm dealing with that we fell in love with and the hummingbirds love, and yet now it's taking over. So, and you know what I'm talking about.
I do. I love it. I truly love it. But you're right, man. I'll tell you, you got to be on guard for that.
You do. You do. It loves to be everywhere. It has a predisposition for dominance for sure. Yep. So we have infinite choices. You have lots of different plants in your garden. I have so many plants in my garden. There's so many new plants being released every year. So help us.
Okay.
This is a mind-boggling project in picking the right ones.
Absolutely.
So you see so many. Help us get the most of our gardens with some that you think we would like.
Well, let's start. Okay. This is, again, for all your listeners, you know, we understand that when I talk about a new plant coming out of, I don't know, Holland or Canada or United States, a new breeder in Pointe aux Pics somewhere, gardening is, the whole thing is global. There are plant breeders across the world that are breeding perennials or annuals or shrubs or trees or whatever. However, gardening itself is local. And that's why we support our local garden centers, because hopefully they have the plants that work for us. And yet so much of what we do, it transfers between wherever your listeners are and me and you and whoever. So when I talk about these plants, and they're not brand new, but some are newish, I'm going to talk about a few perennials, a few annuals, a few shrubs, whatever, or whatever you want me to talk about. We can figure it out. But I'm fortunate, like you say, other than this year, I get to travel a lot. I get to see a lot of different plants in different locations. And as you mentioned, my background is far north, and I'm here in North Georgia right now. When I tell a plant, I think this plant's going to work for most of you. If it's a tropical, well, then it's an annual, but, so be it. So given those sort of parameters that everything is local, so what I say may not be exactly fabulous for you, so what? You know, if a plant doesn't work, my goodness, there are a ton of others to try. And I don't want to waste your money. Believe me, I don't. But the other thing I have to make very, very clear at the beginning, is that there's a huge difference between cost and value. And, you know, you go and you go to the garden center and says, oh my goodness, that's cost $15. Well, you know, what can I tell you? If it's a perennial, if it costs $15 and you get 6 months joy out of it, or you get years of joy out of it, or you show your friends and you're just excited and happy, it is great value, a whole heck of a lot better value than taking your family to McDonald's and spending $15 there, because you know where that's going to end up. So the whole thing about, oh, gee, plants are so expensive. Well, some of them are, and I don't want to waste your money, believe me. So life in gardening world is actually a cultivar world. And you know that for sure, Teresa, when you talk about roses. Mm-hmm. We're talking about varieties and cultivars all the time. And the same is true with everything. So I'm going to give you some real specifics here, and your local garden center will probably have them. And if they, you know, maybe it'll be next spring. But enough preamble. So are you ready to rock and roll?
Let's go.
Okay. There's no number one is better than number two, but one I'm going to talk about, hellebores. Okay. Lenten rose hellebores. There is a huge push for new breeding material on hellebores. Now, you do, and everybody does, Helleborus orientalis. It's called the Lenten rose. It's a great plant. It's great. It's in the shade, it's spring, it flowers. But the flowers hang down, boulders can get beaten up. There are some spectacular new groups of hellebores, and I'm going to just tell you about one or two of them. And they are essentially variegated hellebores. Now, if you don't like variegated, don't worry. It's not gaudy or anything. But there are hellebores now with flowers straight up They are quite spectacular. That is, they are could be red. They could be obviously whites. They are, but they're straight up, and the variegated part of this, I just can't get enough of it because it looks so beautiful, even when it's not in flower. So I'm just going to name a couple of them. One called Penny's Pink, one called Anna's Red. They often have names of people on it. These are upright flowers with gorgeous foliage. One called Glenda's Gloss. But, my goodness, there's a ton of them, and your garden, local garden center, certainly online, you can find these plants. And I can't say enough about them. The foliage is thick. It doesn't need as much water. Not that they're a big water plant, but they look good. Heck, they look good right now in October. And they've been looking good since, you know, they've been flowering in March. And they're very early. So where you are in Indianapolis, or where somebody is in Minnesota, or somebody in Utah will have a flower that's very early and a plant that looks really good all the time. So I mentioned that. That's one hellebore. And I'm going to just slow down and mention the other hellebores called Ice and Roses. This is another new group of hellebores, again, with quite spectacular, foliage. It's not variegated, but it lasts a long time. And again, flowers straight up. So, you can't, and the other difference between these and just go to a Lenten rose is they don't go anywhere. They don't recede. They're more of a landscape plant than they are a ground cover. So that the hellebores, I just can't say enough good things about them. And, we can come back to those in a bit if you'd like. So that's one.
I absolutely love hellebores, but you know, we all know that, it might not be beautiful all year, and those little heads are going to nod. And in March, we're out there looking at them because we're so glad to see anything. But to have something that's straight up, you're speaking language.
No, this is truly breakthrough in breeding of hellebores. When I say a breakthrough, the plants look good most of the season. I mean, hell, we can kill anything if we try hard enough. But they look good most of the season. They are not susceptible to black death, which I don't know if you, some of your readers have that or your listeners, but there's a fungus that's hitting hellebores and the leaves are turning black. And it's not a good thing. They don't seem to be susceptible to that. The flowers are quite beautiful. And they are upright, so you can see them. But they are more of a landscape plant than they are a ground cover. So you can put them somewhere, like in your garden, and not worry about them going anywhere. And they will be early, and they will be quite beautiful. So that Ice and Roses is also another one that I like very much. So you want to take a deep breath? We got hellebores on the list. You just tell me when to stop because I'll just carry on here forever.
Keep going. I've got my notes here, so you keep going.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go from, I'll do another couple of perennials for you, and we can definitely do perennials until we're blue in the face. I just did another a new book that you're going to talk about later, I know, and it's on perennials, so everybody can get this if they wish. So I'm going to talk about Rudbeckia. Now, we know Rudbeckia goldsturm. It's been around forever. It's been a fabulous plant. Nobody can complain about plants that are too popular. They're popular for a reason. However, unfortunately, while this thing has been, goldsturm has been doing terrifically well, it's also getting a little tired, and the growers will tell you that. It's just time for something that can be as good as that. But it's a bit more vigorous and a bit more wonderful. And so I'm going to talk about two Rudbeckias that are relatively new. One is called Glitters Like Gold. Okay. Now, again, these are all perennial Rudbeckias. So they're going to flower early summer or whenever the Rudbeckias flower for you. But this one and another one, called American Gold Rush, have been bred by a wonderful breeder out of Illinois. And of course, Rebecca is our native. So if you like natives, that you're into the whole native shtick as well. And so there's two fabulous perennial Rebeccas. They're at best calf high. They're not going to flop over on you. But they have a ton of flowers on them, both of them. I happen to like glitters like gold even a little bit more because it's a bit more bright, little golden. But you can't beat Rubeckias, and I think that's just a marvelous plant.
Oh, sounds good. Now, I do love it. It is an overachiever in my garden, for sure. So I'm wondering about these new varieties. Are they a little more well behaved?
I think compared to Goldstone, these are far better behaved and a better plant. You know, I think, and again, more disease resistant. They're not going to be aggressive in that they're going to take over your garden or anything, but certainly they're going to come back year after year. Right. And that's a good thing. So, but you know, these are ones that I think that I have been looking at that I really truly, truly do love. But you know, there's a ton of them. So I'm going to give you, go ahead.
Let's get one more perennial. And I love it that you're taking the route of the improved versions, because those of us who've been gardening for a long time, you know, we love the old, but if we can have a new, improved, better behaved, a more beautiful version. So do you have another one of those? I'm loving that.
Yes. Yes. Well, I don't know how new this is. This is probably 2 years old, maybe three at most. And it's a Coreopsis. And again, these daisies to me, they're just sometimes magical. They just flower forever. Mm-hmm. And this is a series called Uptick. Now, I don't know if you have Uptick in your garden yet, but there's a ton of Coreopsis, and I can, you know, we can talk about all the old, the new, and the in between. And I do want to mention that book later, because all these cultivars are in there.
Okay,
but anyway, the Coreopsis, the Uptick series. Now, when I say a series, what I mean is that the breeder has produced a set of plants that are similar in almost every way, meaning for the producer, they mature about the same time, they grow about the same rate, they're up at the same height, yada, yada, except they differ in color, usually. So there's Uptick series, but the best one in the Uptick series is called Gold and Bronze. And I say best, there's yellow and red, they're all good. But to me, this thing is, I mean, it is, so I'm in North Georgia. It's geographically in the foothills of the Smokies. Okay. So we get four seasons here. We don't get near cold as winter as those in the Midwest do. We get probably a hotter summer, but you know, everybody's getting hot these days. Ours is just lasts longer. So, but the fact is that this darn plant has been flowering for me. It's flowering right now. I mean, it's October. So we've had some cold weather here too, but we haven't had any frost or anything yet. But, that to me is the Coreopsis right now for people who just say, hey, let's try a new one.
Excellent.
How's that sound?
That sounds wonderful. Now I'm loving roses. So do you have a rose you want to talk about?
Well, you know, I can't compete with rose information with you. I tell you, but I already told you my feeling on roses, and I get to travel all over the world and see all these gardens everywhere. I'm so fortunate. I have a little company that actually goes to the great gardens of the world. And so we see gardens everywhere. One of the things that you cannot get away from in botanical gardens in particular, particularly older botanical gardens, is a section set aside for a rose garden. Now, Teresa, please don't shoot me, but I think there's nothing uglier than a rose garden. I mean, it's not that I don't like roses. I love roses, but one rose after the other, rose, oh my goodness. But having said that, I love roses in my garden. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a tiny garden. Really, I have a 60 by 100, you know, kind of a normal garden in town garden here. I don't have acreage. So my garden is stuffed with plants. I mean, you come here and I'll rotate you 360 and you'll see about 15 different plants, but roses. So can I talk about two or three different roses?
Yes, go for it.
Because you're the rose person. So anybody that's listening, don't listen to me. Listen to Teresa or Chris or whatever. But I've discovered a new one. And I say, these are new. So you want a little bit of new. And it's new as in 2020. But they should be reasonably out there by 2021. The problem, as we have chatted about, Teresa, is finding roses, because if you go to a garden center, certainly if you go to a box store, I mean, if it's not knockout, it's not a rose. And as much as I enjoy knockouts, there's more to life than a knockout. So the one that I'm going to tell you about is called Brindabella, like Cinderella, but Brindabella. Mm-hmm. And it's a new series. It was developed by a fellow in Florida, believe it or not. And the reason I like it is there's two things I want to see on a rose. One is I want to see clean. That is clean foliage. I don't want to see black spots and mildews and all those other things, because I'm not spraying anything in my garden. I'm just not doing it. Nobody else is true either, for that matter. So this has been about the cleanest rose I've had. And this is called Brindabella Royal Purple. Now, again, Brindabella is a series. But these are a little bit different from one to the next. Brindabella Royal Purple has a second thing I like in roses, fragrance. So these are not hybrid teas, and these are not cut flower roses that smell lovely. These are definitely landscape roses. But again, these are new. So what I'm telling you is my facts, having grown this and the next one I'm going to tell you about, but only for a year. So you know, it could fall apart next year. But right now, I'm in love with the darn thing because it's clean and fragrant. But the problem with Royal Purple, it's also big. So it's at least 4 feet tall. And that's just too big for my little garden. So there's another one that I have been growing lately called Brindabella Dawn, D-A-W-N. And it's pink, it's shorter, and it's fragrant. I know it's fragrant because, believe it or not, I put these in about a month ago because a breeder sent them to me, and it started to flower. I got like one or two flowers. It's chilly, but they're fragrant. And, of course, clean, I'm hoping they're going to be clean. That's the whole idea of Brindabella. The reason for breeding Brindabella is for clean roses, and that's, of course, why knockouts became so popular. So there's a rose that I think is wonderful, and there's two colors. But again, I'm going to just do one more with you because you're the rose person, and it's what I call, I love the vertical element in my garden because I have such a small garden. I got to go up, so I have what I call a mini climber. I'm not sure that's a real term, Teresa. You can let me know, but one called Winner's Circle. And Winter's Circle was bred by the same fellow who bred the knockout rose. So it's clean. I mean, clean in it's a relative sense in roses. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not clean like I've seen so far in the Brindabellas, but it's clean. It's relatively mm-hmm. clean. And you can cut the sucker back if you want. It's a lovely bright red. And when I say mini climber, it's not going through the trees. Mm-hmm. I can maintain it. I can maintain it at about 6 feet or so. And maybe 6-7 feet, I don't know what it, but it's just not, it's not one of those crazy take over the neighborhood.
We'll just say it's well behaved. We'll just say it's well behaved in a small garden, suitable for a small garden, which is mostly our gardens today.
You know, truly, I mean, again, I think, I mean, I hope you come visit me. You're all welcome, but when we can visit, but you know, we have some fabulous gardens in this area, but some of them are quite big. And I love big gardens, but boy, my garden is small. And I tell you, I love it even more because you really got to be careful of what you put in, and you got to be brutal. If you don't like it, you got to take the sucker out. But, those roses so far. And again, the Brindabella, the jury's out. I don't know, But hopefully it'll be at least half as good as I say it is.
Well, I want to get to your book because, of course, we can only talk about a few things here. But you've given us a treasure trove of information in this book.
I got 10. So. I got 10 more plans yeah. for you.
Well, we want to talk about your book and we want to talk about your app. So let's get to the book.
Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, anybody who enjoys reading garden stuff, I mean, I've been very fortunate. I enjoy writing. That's always a lovely thing. And so I've put a number of books out. And if you go to my website, and my website's pretty easy. It's called Alan Armitage. And I spell Alan the correct way, A-L-L-A-N. Mm-hmm. So alanarmitage.net. And on there is a whole bookshelf thing. And there's a number of books you can look at. But there's a couple I want to mention to you. And now I didn't make up this term, but I've written a perennial book. It's called Herbaceous Perennial Plants, and it's referred to as the Bible of Perennials. Now I'll accept that to be sure, but I mean it's been very popular, and it's been so popular I keep redoing it. And so this came out about a month ago or so, Teresa, mm-hmm. a month and a bit. It's the fourth edition of Herbaceous Perennial Plants. It's available in soft and hardcover. You can get on the website and all. But it's got a whole lot of things different than the third or second or first. One, it's an update of cultivars. Two, it has a section in there which people just love who kind of can't help themselves. Where did that name come from? Why is aster no longer aster? How come this semicifuga I used to talk about is now actea? Mm-hmm. I mean, so the change in botanical names. I have put the old name and the new name. You don't have to, you know, it's just there. People are paying attention, but whether a gardener pays attention to botanical names, it doesn't matter worth a darn. But they're there if you like that stuff. And the other thing I've added a whole lot more on is invasive plants. So for each state has an invasive plant thing and yada, yada. But of course, every darn plant we've been talking about, from Rudbeckia to hellebore to phlox, is in here with their way too many cultivars. But anyway, that's brand new and it's doing very, very well. I hope you'll enjoy it. Nobody's doing reference books. And the nice, well, I hope it's a nice thing, is I write as if I'm writing for my children or my neighbor. So while it's a reference book and you'll learn all you ever wanted to learn about perennials, I hope it's quite readable. And it is something that's not going to scare you away.
Well,
speaking of something, so anyway, that's a cool book. I hope you will try it.
Well, listeners, when you're on that page for his bookstore, you're going to see things, titles like It's Not Just the Hat, and you're going to see Legends in the Garden, which I think I don't have that book. I need that book because it's going to tell you about people that maybe you've slightly heard of that are legends in the garden, just as the title says. So all of his books are, they're going to entertain you and they're going to inform you. So take a peek. And when you go to his bookstore, if you use the promo code ROSECHAT, he will cover the shipping cost. So that's a nice little benefit that we have for a month here. So go to alanarmitage.net, go to the bookstore, and use a promo code ROSECHAT, and they'll cover the shipping costs for you.
There you go. Yeah. So it's good fun. And again, the whole, you know, if people say they don't read books anymore, that's nonsense. We all read books just fine. And those books that Teresa said, that Legends in the Garden is great. I mean, who's Francis Williams? Mm-hmm. You probably grow that hoss in your garden. You know, I mean, who's Betty Corning? You probably grow that clematis. So the legends are, the subtitle should have been, Who Does Your Garden Grow? And it's just fascinating, some of the history. And the other book that Teresa didn't mention, but everybody is just goes gaga over, is called Of Naked Ladies and Forget-Me-Nots. It's a stories of plants in your garden. Like, was there really somebody called Joe Pye? I mean, why is a dogwood called a dogwood? It doesn't have anything to do with dogs. There's a whole lot of stuff. So I think the whole storytelling thing is just so much fun. So there you go.
About storytelling, when people come to my garden and they want to see my garden, and I always hope they have enough time to walk with me and hear these plant stories, because I have roses and other plants that they go back, they go way back, and I love their stories. And sometimes I fall in love with the story before I fall in love with the plant. And even the plant could be, oh, maybe not the most beautiful, but I love the story and I just want to feel that vibe when I'm in my garden.
I agree with you. I'm always telling stories no matter where I go. In fact, my walkabouts are nothing more than stories. And but people love hearing them. They love repeating them. And if you want to make gardening something that is people just adore, just tell them a story. Yep. They can't help themselves. Yep. They'll tell it to somebody else.
Absolutely. Now, there's one other really important thing that we want to talk about, and that is your app, because people can have in their pocket all kinds of information from Dr. A.
Well, you know, again, this whole app thing, you know, I remember the ad back a few years ago, there's an app for that. And the fact there is, but ask yourself, you know, when you go to, how can you, I just told you about hellebores and rudbeckias and I told you about coria. How am I going to remember all that stuff? How do I know if it's sun or shade, or what about, do the deer eat the darn thing? Well, all of these things you can find. Of course you can. One thing at a time, but I've developed an app, and it's for, again, for you. It's for anybody who touches plants, be they a professional, be they a garden center person, be they a gardener or a landscaper. And it's called Armitage's Great Garden Plants. It's pretty simple, and it's on iPhones and Androids and all those things. And if you go in that, it has a ton of stuff. You can search for the plant that you're interested in. It has solution gardening. I mean, I need something for fragrance, or I need something the deer don't eat. Every plant has a deer and a rabbit browsing rating. Every plant that is in there has cultivars and photos that I think people, you know, might be interested in. So there's a ton of things. Even garden centers are listed on there if you want to go visit a garden center. You don't know where it is, but yeah, it costs you a ton of money. It costs $4.99. And I tell you, I upgrade it all the time. And if you can't afford it, let me know. I'll work with you. But, it's a great app, and it's been quite popular, and I'm very pleased with it. It's just a way I can share. So you can have me for better or worse in your back
right
pocket. In your back pocket. I call it back pocket horticulture. So there
just
you go.
Another tool fun. in your wheelhouse, and it's just wonderful. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to find things. It's laid out very well. As he said, it's updated regularly. So you're going to be hearing about all those things that he didn't have time to talk about today.
That's right.
Now, Dr. A, before we close, I'm thinking of all the things. If you had to give a new gardener one or maybe two tips, what would they be?
If it was a new gardener, I would say, number one, start slow. You know, even though you've got this, I don't know, vista in front of you, start slow. So slow might be take this area and get it ready and maybe put your two tomatoes in there or your three tomatoes, or start slow. Get this garden there and get your containers going and get some good soil and take care of a few containers. Start slow, one bed, one whatever. And then, you know, if you like that, then you just keep moving. Slow is relative term. Maybe slow is I'll do 1 acre instead of 10, or I'll do 100 square feet instead of the acre, but start slow. And the reason I say that, is there's nothing that breeds success like success. And so if you just start slow, you can play, you can get some good varieties, you can, it's just the best way. But the other thing that is extraordinarily important, it's very boring, is get compost. Help your soil out. You know, in the Midwest, you've actually got real dirt. Back where we are here, we got red clay. So, you can buy compost in a bag and it's quite expensive. If you know farms and you can get horse manure, that's black gold. If you have, as we have, we're very fortunate in our landfill, they do compost for us and you can go buy it by the truckload. But try and enhance your soil every which way you can. If there's one thing that's going to pay dividends in the long run, it's trying to just get more organic matter into that soil. And again, if you're fortunate where you've got, you know, just that great loam and all, then, you know, you're in good shape, and we'll go to number three. But number one and two is start slow and get some, take care of yourself.
I couldn't agree more. You know, excuse me, the enthusiasm that we gardeners feel, even in the beginning, we just want everything. And that just isn't going to work for any of us. So, well, Dr. A, thanks so much for being with us today. This has been good fun, as we promised it would be. And even though my garden and I have been together for more than 30 years, it's always evolving. I'm always tweaking it. I always want the new things.
Yeah, a garden is never finished, so don't even worry about it. And again, thank you for having me, Teresa. And I love this stuff. Anybody who happens to be in beautiful Athens, Georgia, come on, see me. Get a book. I'll sign it and personalize it, and it'll go down in value as soon as I do, but you'll have a grand time anyway. So let's stay together.
Thank you. Well, friends, do check out the app and do follow Dr. A on social media and get those alerts when he's walking about. It is great fun. And don't forget, when you buy a book on his website, use a promo code ROSECHAT, so the shipping will be free. So as we've talked about in my neck of the woods, our growing season is fast coming to a close. It's just the perfect time to use all this information that we've been given today to plan and to plot what we'll do next. So until next time, friends, be well and be safe.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.